This is an ABC podcast.
This is Neat and Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinidal Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Ali, and a big welcome to our newest listeners from Palau. They are joining us here on Neat and Footy Fridays on Radio Australia for the very first time. It's great to have you and everyone else across the Pacific tuning in as this is your Pacifica preview for the Rugby League and Rugby Union Worlds. My name is Sam Wykes, and with me is the most competitive man to come out of the Cook Islands, Tinira Arona T. Ali.
Kia ora, Sammy. Yes, Ali, to our Palau listeners. On our show here, we talk men's and women's rugby footy every Monday and Friday. So join us each week on Nisian Footy. Today, we'll be catching up with rugby union legend Totai Kefu to talk all things rugby union and a quick sevens preview. And we'll also catch up with our NRLW superstar, Sala Tongatuki. She is also trying out for the New South Wales State of Origin team, which will be played in a few weeks.
First game at Queensland. Magic Round. First game, that'll be a blockbuster, Queensland and New South Wales. And it'll go to a three-game series this year. So we'll get a real winner out of this one. But we've also got our recipe of the week.
Yes, my dad sent me a good one.
Oh, did he? Is it going to beat my chopped corn recipe from last week? That traditional Pacifica? mate, come on.
But what about when I asked my dad for the recipe, and no lies, probably about 12 words is the recipe.
Is the recipe.
So, we'll get to it shortly.
Sweet.
Hey, guys, David Mead here, and you're listening to Nisian Footy.
Well, perfect, T. I'm looking forward to that recipe, the 12-word recipe. But as always, busy week of footy. But let's chat last night's game.
Yes, the South Sydney Rabbitohs take on the Penrith Panthers. Look, in the first few minutes, Isaac Tungo gets sent off for a hip drop tackle. Sammy, do you know what a hip drop tackle is?
Yes, it's when you, as a tackler, you lose your feet and you drop your weight on the back of the legs of the ball carrier.
Yeah, very dangerous technique where the ball carrier could cause injuries to the ball carrier.
Around the ankles,
around the knees. I actually done my ACL
from a hip drop.
Oh. And half the time it's when the ball carrier has kind of poked his head through, made half a break, and the defender ends up on the side or behind him. And to bring him down, he, you know, kind of drops to the ground and pulls his weight down.
I can picture that wincing from the ball. You know, when you wince and like, you can feel it drop and they're just like mouth open.
So when it happened to me, I made half a break. I was wearing long studs in the UK. My foot got stuck in the ground. The guy from the side hip drops, and I just felt a pop in my knee. And it was at that moment I knew that my season was done. But anyways, yes, Isaac Tungo, he gets sent off for 10 minutes. And in that 10 minutes, South Sydney Rabbitohs scored two tries. One try to their winger, Isaac Tuitupo Thompson. And it was 12-0. And then that was pretty much it for the South Sydney Rabbitohs because the Penrith Panthers came back and won this game 42-12. They just find a way to win. They know how to win games, especially in that last 20 minutes where they piled, I think it was about four tries. We've seen tries from Sunia Turuva and also Taylor May and Isaac Tungo.
Can I ask you something? You know, I find with the best teams across both codes, there's like a period in the game, whether it's just before halftime, just after halftime, or back end of the second half, where there's a special core that they have amongst the group and the energy just lifts. So you'll see all the teams, say like a South Sydney, now, even though they're going not so well, but you can stay with the best of the best for 30 minutes, you know, or 60 minutes, but it's just a period. Is there a core that they have within a group to be able to say, here, we're lifting tempo here to see what's going to happen?
Some may have a core, some clubs may have a core, but most teams train for it.
Oh, they just train for those periods.
So I know being at the Sydney Roosters when they won in 2013, they wanted to be known, or we wanted to be known, as a second half team. So you finish the game better than how you started. And usually that's when the other team is most fatigued and you come away on top. So and also in the defensive ends on the back end, you really unleash and spend a lot of energy there, invest a lot of energy, and usually come away with being on top and scoring points. So it is a technique that's trained and practiced throughout the teams, and you see most successful teams finish strong. But yes, we've seen a great moment when Dylan Edwards waits for the ball to be to roll over the dead ball line. He quickly gets a 20-meter tap, so he grabs the ball, sprints, taps the ball, and then you just see Taylor May, the Samoan flyer, running down the sideline, catches the ball, and he runs about, 70 meters untouched to score next to the post.
Ball played, Cook goes left, Walker kicks across his body, but there's no chase. Dylan Edwards, this time huffs and puffs and blows it dead. 20-metre tap for Penrith. 7 tackles set, not a great kick. And Dylan Edwards quickly takes the tap, gives it away to Taylor May. Bye-bye, put the glasses down. The horse has bolted, and the horse's name is Taylor May. There are only about 4 South players onside, and this is what we're talking about. Try to Taylor May.
Was that your tummy that rumbled when you heard horse?
Oh, I was going to say, I was actually grabbing my stomach there, did it? But I think Maury got that wrong there. The Samoans, they're not into the Tongan food, so the horse.
Mate, he looked good running away though, Taylor May.
He's a machine.
Speaking of the South Sydney Rabbitohs, a few days ago or this week, we've seen their coach, Jason Demetrio. He got the sack and moved on. It just goes to show how much of a cutthroat business rugby league is. And, being a coach, it's a result-based business. You know, you're judged on your results. And if your team's not winning, well, the people above usually make decisions. So, Jason Demetrio was a Wakefield legend, or is a Wakefield legend. So, I've got a soft spot for him, and I wish him all the best in the future. I know that, I hope that everything turns out well for him. What are your thoughts on this sacking?
I think it'll be keen when we talk to Big Tota Kefu on, the coaching world and the nature of it, because he's been through it, and it'll be cool to listen to his thoughts on, player-led styles and the different coaching styles. But as you said, mate, it is one of the hardest jobs to take on, because from, say, the postman to the taxi driver to the barber, they've all got an opinion and the answers when your side's not doing well. And the coach, you just sit there and cop it. And people think that just because you're losing footy games that you're a bad coach. No, not at all. Like, he would be a great coach. He knows his detail. He knows the game. He's lived and breathed it as a player and as a coach. But it's just unfortunate that, as you said, it's a results-based industry,
mm-hmm.
and you're only judged on your results, not how you are as a person. But, the coaches know what they sign up to. And to be honest, I think that's why when I was retiring and thought about the coaching pathway, that elite level just was never for me, because I didn't want to take that home to my family, because their family goes through it as well.
My wife said the exact same thing. When I was thinking about taking the coaching route after I finished playing, she goes, "Do you really want to jump back on that roller coaster?" And then it made me think about my family and bringing that roller coaster back to my wife. So, not saying that I'm not going to take that route, but
maybe just not
it
now,
just
but
made me double guess it.
Yeah.
Well, Sammy, that's probably it with the rugby league, and we'll catch up with Sola Tonga Tuki to cover the rest and give a preview of this weekend's games. Let's move over to rugby.
Yeah, rugby union. There's a bit happening. As I said, they're going to go to Tonga this week, Moana Pacifica. Del Fiver play over there. So I'm looking forward to seeing what the results are, and more importantly, how the crowd, how they go wild over there for that game.
Do you reckon they match the Fijian crowd?
Yeah, I reckon they will. I reckon they will. Like the music. Don't be surprised if people run on the field as well. Remember the old Giffel Cup days?
They're going to have extra grandma security?
Well, the security probably going to be dancing with them on the field. So, it'll be cool to hear those external stories.
I love when they run on with the flag.
With the flag.
Yeah.
I've seen one with the baby pram too, when they run out there with their kids. Yeah, I've seen that one, which is pretty funny. But yeah, Singapore Sevens is on this week as well for both the men's and the women's. Samoa in the men's is in Pool B with France, South Africa and Spain. Fiji is in Pool C with Ireland, USA, Great Britain. And for the women's, Fiji is in Pool C with Australia, Great Britain and Brazil. So we'll be looking forward to chatting all things sevens come next week. The Wallaroos have announced their squad for the Pacific Four test matches that will be played in May against Canada, USA and New Zealand. Man, there's plenty of Pacifica debutants making up the squad, including, this is the big one, 16-year-old Samoan weapon Shalom Saoso. We've spoken about her plenty of times on the show. And mind you, she has been crossing between league and union.
I was about to say,
throughout the whole year.
Wasn't she planning on coming over to league?
Well, she played for Queensland Country a couple of weeks ago. She couldn't play a Super W game for the Reds because she went and played the under-19s Queensland Country team. And now she's been picked in the Wallaroos squad.
The Wallaroos team.
So again, I feel like that's tactical as well, even though she deserves and earned the right to be there. But obviously Rugby Australia want to get her in straight away to lock her up and not cross over to league, which we've seen plenty of times.
I know a good way to lock them up. Open up the check.
Better coin.
The checkbook, mate.
It's a simple
Send
solve.
The paper
it's
over.
A simple solve, isn't it? But yeah, as well, we spoke to my cousin, 19-year-old Tongan Alana Sikimeti, as well as Samoan Sally Fuasaina, and Fiji and Tongan Lydia Kavoa. They all were named in the Wallaroos squad, but also a big omission in the Wallaroos squad, Sarah Nagama. She misses out on this selection. It's the first time she's missed out in a long time. And I spoke to her last week, obviously very disappointed not to be there, but very determined to get back.
Just speaking of Alana Sikimeti, your cousin, she wasn't announced before we done the interview last week, was she?
Sorry? Huh?
It wasn't.
What?
It wasn't announced.
Sorry, I don't know what you're talking about, mate. I don't know what you're talking about.
And yes, her cousin here released the news here on Nesian Footy. So if you are listening or you're a new listener, we do leak some information early, like some Fijian players that will be heading to the Olympics.
Possibly. No, I like to colour just outside of the lines. You know, you just go with it, give you a little bit, but not the whole truth. But yeah, that's it in rugby union until we head over to the great man, Totai Kefu, later on to go into a little bit more detail.
Too easy. Let's head over to Sala Tongatuki and catch up with the Rugby League Preview.
The Rugby League Preview.
Now comes the way to the right edge. Tongatuki!
With Sala Tongatuki.
Each week, we are blessed with her presence, our Fetu Samoan, New South Wales origin and NRLW superstar, premiership winner with the Roosters and Tigers best and fairest, Sala Tongatuki. Thank you for joining us, Sala.
Thank you, T. Thank you, boys, for having me back on the show again, as we normally do.
So how was your week in footy? I know you've had a few trials now for the in-house trials with the New South Wales Blues. Tell us about that game and how you pulled up.
Yeah, went really well, quite surprisingly. We sort of, as the weeks build up to the last trial game, and we had it under the lights, which was a different scene for us. So it was at nighttime, and they sort of wanted just to put us under what it feel like, just around origin time and when they play. So that was different routine-wise. You have the whole day. Then you're trying to get yourself psyched up to sort of play this night game when it's like, you know, usually going to bed. So, yeah, it's quite different. But I'd say you can sort of see already, like, who might be making it, who might not. Like, you sort of got your teams and it's sort of one feels like the rejects, if that makes sense. And then the other one's like your
possible problems.
So if you get taken off within the first 5 minutes, it's usually a good sign, isn't it? Like, where, because cotton wool that person, they're already in, we don't want to risk
or
injury.
Or one team's just stacked with all the guns.
Probably, yeah. Or one's just all stacked with quality players. But I feel like, that's what it felt like the last game, to be honest. And I seen, like, the team that didn't have all those, you know, quality, like, experienced origin players in, that team actually was more of the dominant. They dominated that night game.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like literally, and I think it would have gave the selectors like a big headache.
Yep.
Because they had 48 hours to finalize this team. You got less than 3 weeks time to name your squad, get them together, do all your plan, whatever. It's not easy. And I guess they're in the process of who they've picked. And yeah, like Body pulled up really, really sweet. I find that each week I was just purely focusing on building my minutes and getting my body conditioned, especially with my ankle. And I feel like after that night game, that sort of solidified I don't have the injury, like it never happened anymore. Like, so it's a good thing for me. I've mentally put myself out of I've got this injury, like I've still got to look at cautious. So, I pulled up really sweet, really, really sore, but I felt I did really good. I was happy with how I went. So, yeah, I purely accepted my position. Obviously, if I made the team, I make it really happy, but just to help speed things up for my rehab and get myself right for NRLW, which was a really good opportunity I found. I took it with both hands.
Yeah, that's great to hear. Yeah, great to hear that you're in that mental space now where it's like the injuries in the past, which that's cool to hear that. I saw that I think it was the nephews or the brothers massaging you on your Instagram story to make sure you're ready to go. But when you prep for a game, like even internal or potentially for Origin, do you look at the other players and go, I'm not going to be your mate, or like, I don't want to know you, I'm just going to paint this picture where I'm just going to go out and just dominate? Or are you like, do you like to say hello? Because I think for me, my downfall, say when we played someone like a Sonny Bill, like that, I was like straight away after the game, hey, shot, Sonny. Just a little bit too much of a fan. And that was my downfall. But like, what's your prep and mindset when you go up against your opposite number?
I'll be honest with you. So like, I think I've got 5 Origin appearances under me, and I'll probably say the first 3, I was really, really nice, like too nice. I think I was just all up in the, oh my gosh, I'm in the team now. Like, you know, how happy, like, but I never really put mindset to, like, this is state of origin. This is, like, beef kind of thing. Like, and I've always been that person growing up, like, just I didn't like beef. Like, I probably knew I could fight, but just stayed away from it. And, yeah, I never really, I didn't understand, like, what the origin, like, kind of, feel, I don't know, like, the beef was. And probably the last 2, like, of my origin appearances, I've understood now the what the actual assignment is. But yeah, I know just hearing from a lot of the girls from the last from my last experiences and that, they actually do not like each other. Like, you can be mates in a in a Gillaroos or, you know, I don't know, in international or just like junior club land stuff, but once you're in that like maroon or blues jersey, there's like, you just hate their guts. Like, I know Kezzy Apps. Like,
it's on. Oh, yes, for real. Like, I love it.
I was like, you got Kezzy Apps, and she would go everywhere. Like, and she'd be like, I freaking hate them. Like, I don't like them. But then, like, after the, like, obviously the whole series is done, you'd be like seeing her, like, have a cup of tea with Ali Brigginshaw at a cafe or something. Like, it's pretty serious stuff. And like, I know now I've actually got that sort of hatred. Like, I really do not like them. Just in that moment, like, origin. But I'm quite keen, like, if we get the call up, hopefully. But look, that's what I've looked at, previewed myself from the last couple of appearances I've had. Bit of a, I don't know, funny fun fact thing, I like to watch like criminology stuff on, like, because it's a night game, and this is what I've been doing for the last couple of years.
You watch crime shows?
Yeah, like Law and Order, NCIS stuff, and then I watch like an episode, like probably 5 throughout the day. I'll just sit there, like, I'll go for breakfast, I'll do the mobility rollouts and that, hydrate, and then I'll go back to my room and I'll literally just like sit there and just watch like series.
Is there any reason for the specific genre of episodes that you watch, the crime shows?
Well, I'm so intrigued, like, it just puts me off, like, footy. Like it's so hard to actually switch off, like, footy mind, like, literally. Yeah. Like, so I found, like, because it's so out of it, like, you know, I don't know, you see, like, some gut getting, like, scorched or something. I'm like, oh, the freak, like, duck. Like, you know, I'm not thinking about footy, like.
Yeah.
So I found that really worked for me, and I've always had a thing for, like, investigation stuff, like, the plot twists. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, I didn't even know that was going to happen, like. But yeah, I've been around
footy for a long time in terms of people's preparation. That's the first for me. Crime shows,
Really?
Yeah, so that's a first.
It's you must have some, actually, for a lot of female players.
Really?
Oh, sorry.
Actually, yeah. Really? No, my wife and some of the girls, they're like... listening to them podcast, the crime podcast as well.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, it's hectic. Like,
okay.
It's
just, we've been absolutely sidetracked here, but that's great.
For real,
like, but that's fascinating just to see.
Just going. I just want to touch on the topic. You know, we're hearing about the debate over the kickoff, and then the back fence run, the big carry off the kickoff. There's the head knocks that come off the back of them. We've seen Moses Sully being concussed on the last week when they had Dragons versus the Roosters. Just want to hear your thoughts on that run off the back fence and that collision, and what are your thoughts behind the debate with the kickoff?
I hope that they don't actually. I'm sort of against it, like them trying to change it. Like, that's your foundation of what rugby league's all about. Gets the fans excited, engaged, like in that, you know, the kickoff and stuff. But obviously, like, unfortunately, seeing Moses go down like that, it's not something you want, especially like your new viewers, and then they've got kids, you know, like, we're trying to grow our grassroots level so then the game's like continuously growing. But I reckon don't get rid of it. Still have the, you know, middles and that carry hard, but because you, Moses Sully, backs player, they don't often do a lot of rough stuff and that. Embracing that heavy, like that big person running at them, right, at trainings. Mm. So I'm thinking they've only got one option when they're running is to actually run towards your middle pack and that. Like, because you got your forwards and that all stacked up in the middle, right? Then you got your edges out, whatever. I reckon that's like you give them like that corridor, like you stay in then. Because I know for a fact I've seen a lot of middles running towards the edges because they know they're smaller.
I'll run sideways to try and find the winger and still get followed.
I'm skipping to find that lazy middle that doesn't do the chase with the rest of the line, and I'll find hole. And if there's no holes in the middle, I'm going straight to the halfback that's usually just on the edge.
Well, I know a lot of kickoffs and that, like if they shove their halves all the way to the wing, and I get that. But if you're talking about safety, just for the sake of a start to the game, because ideally they start making their way back to the middle, and in the game you sort of, you know, you're going to find a half there. But I don't know. I thought maybe just have them actually like take it up the guts. And
you're
just
only
run
allowed to run
that.
In the middle, like, third and get back by three, middle. Four middles. There's no chance I'll be doing that.
I would have been
signed up
for that. No way.
I know,
but hookers, makes sense.
That.
It's cool.
I love that. You would have be brave enough to take that carry in the middle third. And I'd be looking for the hooker if that was me.
exactly.
But anyways, moving on to this week's NRL games. What are the games that you're looking out for and a few new Indonesian players that you're looking, keeping an eye on?
Definitely the Broncos Roosters game tonight.
A massive game.
Both teams. Yeah.
Round one rematch.
Yeah, pretty much. I know like the Roosters surprisingly beat the Broncos up in Las Vegas, but both teams are now coming off the back of strong wins. And Roosters obviously dominated Dragons in what was a masterclass win for Anzac Round. I felt Broncos would miss Payne Haas. Apparently, he didn't pull up really well.
Yeah, he's still carrying that injury.
Pretty much. And obviously, I would probably do the same and manage him if we want to be having him for the rest of the season.
And New South Wales.
I don't know. Yeah, 100%. Well, you've got the depth of the back five here for both teams.
Yep.
I reckon that's going to be a cool matchup. And a lot of them actually being of Polynesian players. So... Or meter eaters, so we'll definitely see them get to work tonight. But probably a big, like a player that I'll probably be keeping an eye on would be Nolfahu White.
Yeah.
We'll be starting at prop for Roosters. I found that he's, you know, physical and aggressive in his defence. Tackles strong, runs hard, and he has the ability to break tackles and gain meters. So
it's crazy that Roosters four pack. You know, you got guys like Jared Werder, Hargraves, Lindsay Collins, Terrell May that's killing it, and then you know White there. They just
gets the call up.
All these founders plays like he's worked hard and he's put himself in that arena or in that circle of players, and you know now he's getting the start. So. I think he deserves it, and he's been playing some great footy.
But, yeah, and also Ezra Mann returns from injury, and we'll see him link with co-half Adam Reynolds and Reece Walsh. So we haven't seen that trio for a while. So I like to see how Ezra caps off that. You know, coming from an injury, it'd be interesting to see if he goes well. I think he always goes well anyway. So just good player to watch, I reckon. Really good.
Not all good. And any other games that you've got your eye on?
Yeah, definitely the Queensland Derby, the Cowboys and Dolphins.
Cowboys, Dolphins, Saturday. Yes.
So why'd you hesitate on the Derby?
Oh, well.
Derby?
Well,
Derby?
Well, in the UK pronunciation, it's Derby. Sorry. And in American, it's Derby. And I don't know, I want to be honest. I looked on Google last night and.
That's what I wanted to hear. That's exactly what I wanted to hear.
Derby, I believe is correct.
Yeah, I'm more of a Derby man.
I'm a Derby guy. Mentioned it, Cowboys versus the Dolphins. Plenty of Nijan players. Who do you think's going to stand out in this game?
Viliami Vailea. He is debuting at winger for the Cowboys. He was the former Warriors Rookie of the Year. But yeah, he looks dangerous with the ball in hand and just strong and caring. So I like to see him come up against Jake Averillo. He's actually been damaging for the Dolphins on the edge. His work rate last week was really big. So that'll be a nice, good challenge for Viliami Vailea up against him. And Felice Kalfusi actually and Connolly Lemuelu returned from injuries. So they're going to add experience to the Dolphins lineup. So I like to see how Felice Kalfusi goes as well, being back at second row. And then he'll also go up against Polynesian brother Jeremiah Nanai. He's been outstanding for Cowboys. He's just got the ability to just break tackles. Seeing what he did last week against Penrith, he was hard to handle. In the last 10 minutes that they had, him and his co-back rower,
Kulikefu Fene Feuyaki.
Yes, thank you. He is he's just having a breakout season so far.
Well, speaking of the Kulikefu, he's signed to the Dolphins, so this will be the first time after signing his contract playing his future team. So that will be an interesting matchup and a great game to watch. But on that note,
definitely.
Appreciate you coming on and doing your thing each week.
Yeah, love the insight for your pre-game movie choice, series choice. Outstanding.
Let's go find a crime podcast.
Yeah, I'm going to go listen to it on the way out.
Crime podcast. Actually, Sala, we could do our own Nijan crime podcast.
That's a thought. Oh, keep that up there. Geez. Oh, then you're going to have to shame some of your family
your
members
cousins.
And stuff. Cousins. Stay away from that one.
All good.
All good. On that note, thanks so much. All the best. Hopefully we get to hear that you're selected come next week. And we'll talk to you next Friday.
Hopefully. Thank you, boys. Have a good one.
All right. Take care. Bye.
Recipe of the week.
Yes, our recipe of the week. Each week we take turns in coming with a new recipe. Some good, some bad.
Yours bad, mine good.
Yeah, some of it from our favourite parts of the Pacific as well. We've had some really good ones. We've had the horse meat succulent horse meat.
Just give
shredded.
A quick reminder to our listeners what you came up with last week.
Yeah, it was a pre-game meal, the day before, and it was mixing peanut chocolate, coated chocolate, into popcorn, and you mix it together, you grab a handful and you put it all in your mouth and you get sweet and savory. If you haven't tried it,
I didn't say what it tastes like or you know what feelings you got.
Please,
I just wanted the recipe.
Please go and try it. Do yourself a favor.
It's popcorn and
simple
peanut cutted,
coated
chocolate,
but it tastes beautiful. Don't judge it until you try it. Anyway, 12 words for your recipe. Talk to me.
So, what's the taro leaves in Tonga? The meal you liked? It was actually for your birthday cake I seen on your socials.
Yeah, are these the taro leaves?
Yep. No, what's the meal called?
Oh, lu.
Lu.
Yeah.
And it's wrapped in, you wrap it with lamb or pork?
Oh, you can have, bulu masima, kapa bulu, which is the corned beef, beef or lamb, sippy.
So my dad, he grows taro leaves in his
backyard?
In his garden,
yeah,
in his backyard.
Nice.
And, mate, these taro leaves get pretty
massive,
big.
Yeah.
And every now and then I go home and he's making his recipe and he puts it in a pot and it's like a stew. So it's the taro leaves, the corned beef, the coconut cream, all in the pot, all in one big stew, and you have it like a soup, and you have it with bread or donuts. Cook Island donuts.
So you dunk, yeah, man, there's some calories in that meal if you're putting...
Oh, plenty of calories. plenty of calories. But, so I've gone on my family chat and I've just said to my dad, you know, we call it Ruko. And I said, what's your Ruko recipe? And he goes, oh, for when? And I'm like, oh, no, not to make it, to bring it in for you. I just wanted the recipe on how he made it. So I thought, he thought that I was bringing some food. He wanted to cook it to bring it for you. No, I didn't bring it.
Oh, I'm looking around to see, is there some here?
Nah. So I just said, no, I just need the recipe on how you make it. And then he says this, word for word. Cut it like you cut the cabbage and boil it for 2 hours. Drain the water out, pour coconut cream, and add corned beef in. That's it.
That's it.
That's it. So you cut the taro leaves like cabbage, throw them in. You
boil that up first.
For 2 hours.
Yep. 2 hours?
For 2 hours he boils it. Yeah, so it's real mushy.
Oh, wow. That's a long time. Must be a big pot, because otherwise the water would drain out.
Oh, it's one of the big pots.
Oh, wow.
The big metal ones.
Okay.
Add the coconut cream, add the corned beef. And yeah, there you have it, the ruko. And my mum said that you can also steam the
leaves.
The leaves. The
That's what Campisi Maafu's secret method is for his lure, is they steam the leaves. They reckon it's better than chucking it in the oven and putting it in the foil. Doesn't dry it out as much. So your mum's onto something.
Oh, she said.
Oh, here we go. You forgot something.
No, I just read it. So my mum knows, you know, the taro leaves or ruko is not cooked properly when you end up with a itchy throat.
That's very true. Well done,
too. There's my recipe.
What's your dad's name?
Tor.
Shout out to Big Tor.
So, Sammy, there is a example of a recipe, not popcorn and chocolate. So try and do better next week, because you're
message,
up, mate.
I would message my dad, but I swear he's the only human in this world that doesn't own a mobile phone. So I better go out and see him for a recipe.
Isn't it funny when you try and message people and they don't message back? But then when you're with them, they're always on their phone.
Very true. Very true. But anyway, I'll have something better for you next week, T.
Sweet ass. Let's get over to Totai Kefu to cover the rugby union.
The rugby union preview.
Kefu. Totai Kefu.
With Totai Kefu.
Yes, joining us every week to chat all things rugby union is the Wallaby, Queensland Reds and Ikaletahi legend, Totai Kefu. Kefs, welcome back, mate. What's been happening in your world?
Oh, nothing much. It's, you know, a bit of coaching at school and club level. The winters are getting chillier in the mornings and in the afternoons, so hence the beanie. But that's about it. It's been pretty quiet, pretty exciting. A lot of news around the grounds.
Just quickly, is that a New South Wales Blues beanie?
No, this is a Grenoble.
Oh, Grenoble, the French team. Look at
him. I was like, that would be pretty funny if that was a blues beanie.
Oh, well, speaking of excitement in T's corner compared to mine, my tipping comp in rugby union, I'm 2 from 9. I keep going against you. T follows your lead. He's 9 from 9 in rugby.
Wow.
So this week, should I just keep the trend up and just go opposite to what you say?
I think so, because I'm bound to get a few wrong.
surely you got to be wrong this week. I'm going against it. But before we dive into Super Rugby and all the news going on there, earlier we touched on Jason Demetro and his sacking from the South Sydney Rabbitohs in rugby league, and how cutthroat and how ruthless it is to be a head coach at the elite level. And part of the decision from that was he's a player-led style coach, loves to have the players to be like how to run the team, setting standards, implementing game plans, all run by players, of course, with the input of coaches. But I'm curious, in this day and age, do you think that player-led style is still effective considering how much younger it is for the players coming through?
Yeah, I think, from my opinion, I think it depends on the group. You know, to have a really... a player-led group, you need a group that's really mature, really, really engaged and hooked into the program and what the team's about. You know, they need to drive standards. They need to hold players accountable. If players can do that and leaders can do that, definitely, because that's, I think that's the best way to run a team. But like I said, it depends on your group. It's funny because he did all his apprenticeship under Wayne Bennett, and Wayne Bennett is a massive player-led type of coach. And look, I think back in our day, it was always, you know, we were involved with coaches who were really authoritarian, you know, shout from their soapbox, do this, do that. And that's the way it worked back then. And I think, you know, I think players back in our day were probably more resilient to that, tougher maybe. But certainly players in this day and age, I think, are totally different to what we were back in those days.
Yeah. Can you tell us a bit about your style, and you know, did you adjust your style depending on what teams you had?
Yeah, definitely. Look, if we look at the Kali Dahi team, I had some great leaders. I had Siale Puitau, Tane Takalua. And Tane was a bit of a old school kind of Tongan. I wouldn't say bully, that would probably be too hard, but he'd want things done his way. Whereas Siale was more kind of a would work with other people and would let players have their own say. So I had two types of leaders, and both worked within our group. So we had a little bit of flexibility in there, but the Tongan, it's funny, Tongans and all Polynesians are quite, they're open to, if you tell them what to do, they'll bloody do it. I think that's just the way we grew up, you know, very respectful of elders. We do as we're told.
Yep.
We don't speak out. There's a little bit of a change now with players, especially Polynesian players growing up in academies now, a Tongan player growing up in Tonga to a Tongan player growing up in academies in New Zealand or Australia, totally different.
Yeah,
totally
different cultures.
Being a head coach, I don't know how you guys do it. You can't switch off. There's no outlet compared to when you're a player. You can release it on the field, but as a coach, you take it home. Such a demanding job. And Kef, do you still want to keep doing it?
Well, I do, because I love coaching at that top level. And you know what? The best thing that I've found about not coaching at that top level is less stress. When you're at that international level or even super level, it's about deadlines. It's about getting things done on time. Your workload's tripled. You've got to worry about everything. Mate, now I'm so relaxed. It's totally different, and I think that's good and bad.
Yeah.
But those coaches at that level, like as soon as something, if results don't go your way, there's one person they blame. Everyone's pointing at the head coach. So really empathetic for coaches who go through that. But we've always, you know, there's DCs going through that kind of at the Waratahs. What you find though is a lot of those coaches, we all know each other. You know, growing up through the system as players or as coaches when we first start out, there's a really good support network amongst the coaches. So I've already flicked DC a message about just you know, hang in there. You know, this won't last long. I sent, when Mups got sacked as a Samoan coach, you know, he straight away would have got a heap of messages. And, you know, I was certainly one of the first to send him a message. So we all kind of stick together, but we all kind of know what the landscape is. And that's, I think, you know, there's a fair bit of bravery in that, but we all know what's expected of us.
Yeah, it's easier to sack one coach than 30 players who are probably underperforming, isn't it? But well, let's move into Super Rugby, and we'll start with the Drua Moana game from last week, the Battle of the Pacific. Kef, what was your thoughts around this game? Obviously, playing in Fiji, the 2 o'clock kickoff, it was hot. It just suited the Fijians right down to a T.
Yeah, totally. I mean, you were there. You called the game. Was it as hot as it looked?
It was probably the hottest one I've been to. Like, wow. It was steaming out there on that pitch.
Yeah, look, wow. Look, a game of two halves, really, and still a close game in the end. But I just, I just think with Moana, they're just being let down by just simple errors, poor execution. Their line out is must be a source of frustration for Tana, because it's just been so inconsistent over the last, and I feel sorry for, Malolo came on at second half there, and I'm thinking, oh my God, I hope he doesn't. And it was a line out. Like, why would you bring him on at a line out time? Bring him on when it's a scrum. And I'm thinking, because the last couple of games, he's good for one or two, not straights. And I actually think he's a better hooker than Molly.
Yep.
Around the ground, Malolo's just so much more aggressive. Anyway, the first he comes on line out. What do you throw to two? Not straight. I've nearly fallen off my chair at that stage. I felt so sorry for the bloke. But it, those simple errors are just killing him. I thought in the first half, Drua was much more direct, much more physical, actually, I thought. And then Moana came back, made some headway back in the second half. But even looking at Drua's first try, Mussey, it basically ran through, who did he run through? Surveyor and Finne, and basically set up the first try. Mussey and Salawa, I think over the last couple of games have been absolutely world class, those two players. I won't be surprised if they start knocking on higher honours, especially Salawa, the flanker. But yeah, disappointing for Moana. But in the second half, they really hung in there and dug deep, and got within a converted try.
Yeah, their last 20 minutes, if they were reviewing something for Moana Pacifica, that would have been the last 20 to go off in terms of the style that they would want to play. They were aggressive. They played their best footy in that last 20. So it was good to see. And you're right with Salawa and Yosefa Mussey. I feel like they've got a decision to make as well. Test footy or possibly the Olympics. I'm sure.
Oh, was that something?
Oh, did I leak something? No, I don't know. I don't know yet.
Is that a little seed plant?
I'm just planting the seed. That's all on that one. But but this week, Moana take their game over to the Kingdom of Tonga over there. They're going to be playing at Delphova. There's 12 Tongans in the team for Moana Pacifica, two in the Highlanders. For yourself and the family and your family, especially your old man calling Delphova home for so long, as a player to now this day and age, 2024, there's a home game, Super Rugby game, professional game being played over there on that very ground. Do you have any fond memories of that field or any sort of stories about that ground?
Look, I first played on that ground. There was a Tongan select team all the way back in 92 where I came across with some Tongan legends back then. If you might know that some of the names, there was Philly Finau,
Big Philly Finau, Semi
Alfe, Willie O was with us as well, and he was the captain coach. I was a young fullback just coming out of Australian under 19s, I think I was. Yeah, I actually replaced someone. Someone got injured, and they called me in, and I was playing Australian under 19s at the time. So I have got a funny story. Actually, we all stayed in a church. And I only knew a few of these blokes. We all stayed in a church in Longolongo. And so all our beds were mattresses were on the ground with, all our bags. Anyway, after one session, I've come back to just get changed and have a little bit of lay around. And some of my clothes are missing. So my jersey, my under 19 training jersey's missing, my under 19 shorts are missing. I go, there was a couple of boys around laying next to me. He goes, have you seen my jersey? It's gone. No, we haven't seen it. Anyway, do you remember a guy called Ippolito Finikitao?
Finikitao, yeah.
Yeah. So
Ippo.
he was laying at the foot of my mattress. It was where his mattress was. Anyway, I saw him. I said, mate, you haven't seen these? No, no, I haven't seen it. Anyway, next training session, he's wearing it. He's got my jersey on. I said, what are you doing? He goes, oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Oh, I like this one. That was my first introduction to, you know, hanging out with full-on, you know, homegrown Tongans. And anyway, I let him have it. I wasn't going to get it off him.
Let him have it. You didn't have a choice,
I don't think,
mate.
You had a choice, mate.
I didn't have a choice.
He was 4 or 5 years older than me. And, what a player he turned into for the Brumbies back in the day. But
all because he wore your training gear, mate.
Yeah. And that was my first experience at Telfava. Unbelievable. People hanging off coconut trees, mango trees. So this game this weekend will be absolutely... It'll be chockers to the rafters again if there's any branches left on those trees. you know, there's also a couple of Tongan boys playing for Highlanders, Salo Mal and Fakatava, who parents haven't seen them play live at all since they've left Tonga. So big occasion for them, big occasion for everyone, and big occasion for Tonga too. You know, we should have more games, international events like this, in the kingdom, and we just haven't been able to have that.
Yeah, really looking forward to this one. Who are you tipping?
Oh, I better get my
I'm
pen.
Actually going to go Moana.
Oh, okay.
I don't think I've chosen Moana.
Nah, you did. Toops did for you, mate.
Oh.
And they got smoked.
I think they're playing some good footy. Obviously, the issues they have is just that consistency around turnovers, lineouts. So, and you know, Sione Talituli, he's playing the house down. He's been probably their best player or close to their best player week in, week out.
Yeah, he's been, mate, him and Lotu Anisi, like that 1-2 punch combo for momentum, their ball carries. It's going to be crucial for this weekend's game. Moving on to the Drua game, they're playing in the cold in Canberra. Looks like it's only going to be about 5 or 6 degrees. To go from 36 degrees last week to about 6 degrees this week, how do you feel that Mick Byrne's going to prepare them for this game?
If they were smart, they probably would have gone early just to probably acclimatise. This is one of the great things about rugby is playing in different environments and being exposed to different cultures and that. So this is going to be tough for the Drua, especially against the Brumbies, a really structured team. Who have a world-class set piece. So if Drua can get that momentum, that continuity using offloads and pick and goes and pop-ups, all that type of stuff, I think they could be in there for a chance, but I think the Brumbies might be too good for them in the cold.
And then finally, the Sevens, Singapore this weekend, leading into the Olympics, Samoa's playing, Fiji's playing. Any thoughts around this one?
Yeah, interesting. I haven't really followed the Sevens before, but I had a quick look the other night. There's only two rounds left, hey? So I think there's Singapore this weekend, and I'm not too sure
Madrid.
Where the last
one is. Madrid will be the last one before they head in.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. So, look, any top six teams can actually win it. So Fiji are in with a chance, but they would have to have top three finishes over the next couple of weeks. Olympic selection at the end of the year. It's going to be really, really interesting. The competition starts today in Singapore. So, I'll be trying to hook into that and see what happens.
Yeah, it's always a tight competition, the Sevens. It's heavily contested. And we are looking forward to that run into the Olympic Games. But, Kef, all the best up there in Brisbane. Hopefully you stay warm. And we'll talk to you next Friday.
Thanks, boys.
Thanks, mate.
Thanks, brother.
Shh. Quiet, boys and girls. It's Professor Paulo.
For our new listeners, that is our friend Joseph Paulo, a.k.a. Professor Paulo. And each week he gives us a question, and first one to answer the question gets a point, and we keep a score. And the score at the moment is 4 to Sam, 3.5 to me, and at the end of the footy season, the loser has to shout a fancy lunch.
It's close here. Mind you, just for our listeners as well, the professor, former Where do you play? Penrith Panther, Parramatta Eels, St Helens,
USA captain.
Oh, USA captain.
Played for Tor Samoa as well.
Yep, American
also
Samoa.
New Wayan.
Wow, man, this guy has more clubs than a golfer. Toulouse as well in rugby league. So yeah, just to paint a picture on who the professor is and why he's called the professor. World of knowledge. So let's get into it.
What is the name of Australian-born and Samoan heritage athlete who will be having a rematch against Myro Bridis? And the last time they had a fight, he broke his jaw.
I'm just going to say Opetai. I forgot his first name. Joseph. Is it Joe? Joe Opetai?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Joe Opetai.
All the best in his rematch, and the boxer's name is Jai Opetai.
Jai Opetai. Could you not?
No.
You didn't hear me. I said Chai.
Chai. Joe Chai.
Joe, you know what? Jai is actually, Joe is Cook Island for Jai.
No, it's not.
Well, half a point.
Nah. There's no points there. We're just going to go.
What?
No points for that.
Wow.
Get out of your tea. And if you don't know, to all our new listeners, we fight a lot over our knowledge questions. So, you're dreaming, mates.
Wow.
Let's
just stitch up.
We're not doing that.
Let's go to tipping where you don't get any.
Let's get ready to rumble.
Knockout tipping time.
Well, we're sticking with the boxing theme. This is our knockout tipping comp. We pick one team each week from the NRL and Super Rugby, but we can't pick them again once we've chosen them. Just to give a score update and a bit of a background, Tinirao is a rugby league man through and through. No expertise in the game whatsoever. He's 9 from 9 in rugby union. And I am rugby union through and through, and I am 2 from 9. So so he's winning 15-9 at the moment. It's embarrassing. And when I look through who I can choose this week, I'm just going to start it off, T.
Who you got, mate?
Well, we've got to go to the beautiful Kingdom of Tonga. This is where they're playing. 100% I would have saved. I knew I was going to save the Minor Pacifica for this game.
To beat the Highlanders.
I had this marked in the calendar.
You do know the Highlanders have 2 Tongans as well, mate.
I don't really care, but the Minor Pacific have 12. No. And Julian Savea as well, the Samoan bus.
Yeah, okay. If I could pick the Moana, I probably would, but I'm just trying to play
but
it
down. But now I can't because of your cousin.
So unlucky, mate.
He chose him against the Brumbies in Canberra, minus 17 degrees, whatever it was down there. Never going to happen. Rotation period. So I've got to go with the Highlanders because my other picks are definitely not.
Oh, you're going Highlanders against the Moana.
I don't want to. I'm going against big Kefs as well. I don't want to.
Oh, wow.
But
You're mad. I'm going the Crusaders to beat the Reds in New Zealand. Christchurch is a hard place to play. Actually, the Crusaders have been losing a fair bit
this
year.
Nah, but they won't lose at home. They're on a roll. They'll make the eight.
Okay, I'll go Crusaders. Yeah. So we're going the...
you're going to be 10 from 10. I'm
going
to be...
We're both going the South Island teams.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, well, hopefully...
The Landers.
Come on, the Landers. Come on, Jamie Joe. Sort it out, mate.
And in the rugby union, rugby league, I'll go to the Melbourne Storm to beat the Gold Coast Titans. I think the Storm are on fire. We're slowly coming up to origin time, which means Cam Munster, Harry Grant all usually step up around this time. And they've been killing it lately. And Xavier Coates as well, our man Xavier. And if you're new and you want to listen to an interview we've done with Xavier, you can listen to that episode anywhere you get your podcast.
Very good, T. So
Storm to beat the Titans.
Yep, that's a no-brainer. So you're going to be on, 17 next week? Oh, my goodness. I'm going to go the tough game. I want to go the Bulldogs over the Tigers. I just think my beloved Bulldogs are going to get the job done. Well, anyway, that's our time up for another Nisian Footy Friday. Thank you to our Palau listeners. Hope you enjoyed it. See you next week. Remember, you can listen back to our Monday and Friday shows. Just search for Nisian Footy wherever you get your podcasts.
Ka kite. This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.